Douglas explained it in the uniquely affable, paradoxical, and unforced style that marks him out for greatness. I've just visited the bathroom and noted that the soap on offer there, tightly sealed in that absurdly unopenable disc of indestructible plastic paper offered by hotels for the convenience of their guests, is not called soap at all. It is, in fact, an almond facial bar. That would have been an email to Douglas straight away, and the email back, which can now never, ever be had, would have made me giggle and dance about my hotel room for half an hour. Everyone heard, in the sad weeks following his shocking and unfair death, how good a comic writer Douglas was, how far-ranging his interests and how broad his appeal. This book shows what a teacher he was. Just as sunsets have never been the same colour or shape since Turner looked at them, so a lemur and a cup of tea will never be the same again because of Douglas's acute and quizzical gaze. It is very unfair to be asked to write an introduction to a book which contains an absolutely brilliant introduction written on the very subject of introductions to books. It is even more unfair to be asked to write an introduction to the posthumous work of one of the great comic writers of our age, when the book one is introducing contains the definitive introduction to the posthumous work of the definitive comic writer of all ages, Douglas's foreword to P.G. Wodehouse's Sunset at Blandings, as Ed Victor pointed out at Douglas's memorial service in London, serves as an astonishingly accurate description of Douglas's own gifts. Not that this was for a second in Douglas's mind when he wrote it. Douglas was not hideously Englishly modest, which is not to say that he was vain or boastful either. His passion to communicate his ideas and enthusiasms, however, could easily trap you on the telephone, over a dinner table, or in a bathroom, to the exclusion of all other company or considerations. In that sense, and I don't think I'm being disrespectful here, Douglas could, mano a mano, tete a tete, talk one into the ground. Affably wearing, but exhausting all the same. But he could no more write boringly than he could execute a perfect pirouette. And, believe me, there have been few human beings born less able to execute pirouettes without the destruction of furniture and all hope of safety to innocent bystanders than Douglas Noel Adams. He was a writer. There are those who write from time to time and do it well, and there are writers. Douglas, and it is pointless to attempt here an explanation or anatomization, was born, grew up, and remained a writer to his too early dying day. For the last 10 years or so of his life, he ceased to be a novelist, but he never for a second stopped being a writer. And it is that happy fact that the Salmon of Doubt celebrates. Whether in the preparation of lectures, the execution of occasional journalism, or in articles for specialized scientific or technical